Well, I'm not any less in need of your prayers today than I was yesterday. So if you could just pray for me for a moment, that I'll speak the Lord's words to you, and I'll pray that you're able to hear whatever the Lord wants you to hear. And let's entrust each other to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Today's gospel was actually plucked right out of the middle of yesterday's gospel. Yesterday we heard the beginning about how we should carry out good deeds, almsgiving, and we heard the ending about how we should pray and fast for the Lord's sake in secret. And as we meditated on yesterday, the Lord invites us to reflect on and to enter even more deeply into that secret, which is the deepest interior of each one of us. In fact, nothing is more secret and nothing is more deep in our hearts than our relationship with the Lord. Pope John Paul taught us so beautifully in his Theology of the Body about original solitude. Before there were two human beings, there was one who was in relationship with God. And in the depths of our being and in the foundations of our humanity, we also are in relationship with God in that original solitude. And so as we reflect on that secret in the depths of our hearts, it is a secret that is in relationship with God. And what is wonderful is each individual has an absolutely unique relationship with God. No two people have the same relationship, and God cherishes us individually and delights in us individually. We are unrepeatable. And what Jesus does in today's gospel is he reveals a little bit of his own relationship with God, with the Heavenly Father. And I would invite you to take that into your prayer. What is in the heart of Jesus for the Heavenly Father? With what love does he speak these words that he taught to us? When he says, "Our Father," what is the depth of feeling and knowledge that accompanies those words? When he addresses the Father, with what tenderness and trust, with what delight. When he speaks of the Father's kingdom, and when he speaks of the Father's will, he adores that will. We know in the agony in the garden, it would hurt him deeply, and yet even over the resistance of his own pain, in the limitations of his own humanity, Jesus chose to adore the will of the Father. Thy will be done. Jesus does not merely grudgingly accept the Father's will. He doesn't simply endure it. He adores it, cherishes it. He knows that what the Father wants for the world is the sweetest and most delightful, is what will bring all of us to the greatest holiness and bestow on all of us the greatest love. There is nothing more adorable, nothing more loving than the will of the Heavenly Father. When Jesus says, "Thy will be done," it's not with a grudging acceptance, but with an eager delight. Oh Father, I can't wait for your will to be done in every heart, in every moment. And if that were to happen everywhere in the world, heaven would be on earth. How much the Lord delights in this heavenly liturgy, when most truly the Father's will is done in bringing forth the full expression of the Son's love also done in union with the Father's will and given to each of us in Holy Communion. Truly, heaven comes to earth in this liturgy as the Father's will is done. Jesus also, in an amazing way, says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Now we know that Jesus never committed sin. He has no trespasses. Why does he ask the Father for forgiveness? But that shows you the depth of love that he has for us, because he doesn't consider himself to be apart from us or different from us, such that he would look down on us or disdain us. But he loves us so much that he identifies himself with our sins. We could say that in a profound way on the cross, he goes to confession for our sake. He confesses our sins as if they were his own in order to call down the Father's mercy on each one of us. Jesus unites himself with us not only in our best behavior, but also in our worst behavior. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who not only waits at home for us to return, but actively goes out to seek us and to find the lost one, which causes him to go into the ugliest and dirtiest and darkest places, because he will never allow any one of us to be lost. He enters into our sin, takes it on himself in order to call down the Father's mercy to cleanse us and purify us, so that we can be freed from temptation and delivered from evil. As we celebrate these sacred mysteries, I invite you to continue reflecting on what Jesus reveals from his own heart, saying these words not with a rote repetition or even with a formality, but really with the tenderness of love, an overflowing delight, as he invites us not only to have a relationship like his with the Father, but in fact he extends to us his own relationship with the Father, that we could also pray these same words with the same delight. After the greatest moment in this Mass, we will be invited to take up these same words and to make them our own. May we also beg the Holy Spirit to make the sentiments and insight and knowledge of Jesus our own as we pray in his words to our Father.